inside the boat. Let me hit it from the back, girl, I won't catch a hernia. Bust off on your couch, now you got Siemens furniture.
Shy he fight for the extra P. Stacy Beetle, PJ, and my man LG. They know the ass track is really so on ice. The character is of man, never ever a mice. Shorty, let me tell you about my only vice. It has to do with lots of loving, and it ain't nothing nice.
Relax yourself,
girl,
reset.
It ain't nothing nice.
Relax yourself, girl, reset.
It ain't nothing nice.
Relax yourself, girl, reset. 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 Relax yourself, girl, reset.
September 1st to 11th, it's the 9th annual Vancouver Latin American Film Festival. This year, the festival is proud to announce 3 competition sections for short documentary and feature-length films. What's more, the festival has a new state-of-the-art venue at SFU Woodward's Goldcorp Center for the Arts, where it will screen 4 of its most awarded and prestigious films. To learn all about the 9th annual Vancouver Latin American Film Festival, visit VLAFF.org.
Whoops! Oh, shoot. I'll just do one more.
Cromwell's When You're Gone, available on iTunes, CD Baby, and other online retailers. Find more info at cromwell.net.
Every day I try, always on the fly. How much money does it take to buy? Everything you need, it's all the same. I'm the one to blame, it's not a game. I like to move around your frame.
Well, 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 welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners listening to the show way after it airs, or perhaps even later on tonight, whenever it is, when you're just tired and you can't sleep and you just need a little bit of wondering about your life, what you want to do and add to your life so you feel super sexy, super confident, and super seductive. Because tonight we're going to be chatting about the art of seduction and bring a little bit of the fusion of all the Cuba and fusing that into your life, because my seductive Cuba is something that's very hot. So for those of you who are on Twitter, you might want to start following my seductive Cuba, because I've got a very special, very sexy, very talented woman on the show tonight who is an amazing dancer. She's an amazing entrepreneur. She's won and been nominated for many, many different awards. And I took her dance class and found it incredibly sexy. So I'm very excited to welcome Shen from Latito Productions on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. With an introduction like that, I wish there was a TV so they could see me blush.
Well, next time we'll have to have you in the studio and actually at a camera. So
you're on.
It just might make everybody else blush out there because you've got a beautiful voice. So
thank you.
Well, I know it's been a little while since I've been to your class, but I have to say, I did not know my hips could work like that.
You know what? It's funny because when you get into the whole thing of moving sexy, mm-hmm. it comes out of you. And tell me that this is not right, but it's just like at one point you stop thinking about being sexy or moving sexy, and you just start to feel it, mm-hmm. right? And this is what it's all about. It's about unleashing what is already in you. And then it comes out naturally. Then you go like, I didn't even know I had that in me.
Mm-hmm. No, I can totally see that. And especially in Vancouver, where a lot of times we tend to be very laid back, pretty casual. And so just getting right in there and actually just filling up with all that that's actually already in there, I think it's a beautiful thing.
And I think even more so in Vancouver, people are more hungry for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there isn't that typical flirting on the outside that you see in a lot of other places. So people want that seduction. It's quite interesting to see couples come to kind of find those buttons to push, you know, so that they can have more fun in their relationships, or people just wanting to feel sexy and wanting to break loose a little bit, to express themselves.
So how do you find it? Because you teach Cuban salsa as well. You're the one who brought it to Vancouver, aren't you?
Well, I didn't bring Cuban salsa to Vancouver. Cuban okay. salsa was already here by other people that brought it.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely worked hard to put it more on the map.
No, you definitely have, because I hadn't heard about it before you. Not
Yay.
that means everything about me in my opinion, but I do like to. It's really exciting and it's very beautiful. How do you find it different in terms of working with couples as opposed to the women directly, just where it's a female-only class?
Well, when there are only women in the class, what mm-hmm. happens is that they feel more comfortable letting go to, you know, and being more sexy because they don't feel like they're being watched or judged. Whereas when you're learning something, you don't necessarily know right away how to do it, right? Let's say you wanted to ride a bike. You wouldn't necessarily know how to get on a bike and find the first time the balance on it. Well, do you want someone to watch you while you're trying to find the balance?
That's a very good point, and I don't know how to ride a bicycle, so...
I hit the jackpot.
Yes, you did. That was a very, very good one.
But the bottom line is that when you're learning, you want to first learn, and mm-hmm. you want to get good at it, and then you want to tease somebody with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the interesting thing is that couples that come, they're focused on something different, because a lot of couples want to basically find that fire again, or they want to learn how to push each other's buttons in different ways, and they know, because everybody knows how to push buttons for each other. I don't mean the buttons that make you mad. I mean the sexual, sexy, flirty buttons, right?
We do, and I think we forget that sometimes when we're in relationships. There's I can't remember what the statistics are, but there are a lot of sexless marriages right across North America where people have been together for a very long time and they've forgotten how to touch. And sometimes I think dance is a really great way to actually get physically in your body and being able to connect with your partner in so many different ways.
Absolutely, because even just flirting. I mean, mm-hmm. if you put two people in my class, one of the first things you'll see is that it's not about turns and spins. It's about, ooh, well, how do you look as you turn and how do you use your head? And, you know, mm-hmm. how does the guy check her out as she turns around? And these are the things that people fall into routines.
Yes.
If they fall into their routines, they forget to invest in what is most important, which is their relationships. And one of the hardest things for couples as they are a lot of years together, especially when they get to the second child, is that they're at a crucial point where the relationship can almost break. And if they don't learn how to put back energy into them, even if it was just once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month,
mm-hmm.
then it's really hard. So they come and they want to learn these things. They want someone to help them remember.
Yes. And so what is the first step, especially if you've got someone who's a little bit awkward and they've never taken a dance class before and they've decided to just jump right in both feet and start?
Well, the beautiful thing about beginner classes is that they don't need to know anything. And not only that, but before you have something to work with, let's say you want to speak a new language. Well, you're going to first learn the letters, then you're going to learn how to put words together and then sentences. Right? So
That's
until
true.
You can, you know, put sentences, you can't even put that little oomph into it that will be that tease. You have to build a little bit of vocabulary. So there's really no, and there's nothing intimidating about it. It's just the beginning. It's really more technical until you build a little bit. What I love to do is that as soon as there's enough to put the playful stuff, and then suddenly they forget about the technical, not in the sense of not knowing what they're doing, but suddenly they start to just kind of dive and get sucked into it in the best ways.
What was it that seduced you about Cuban salsa?
About Cuban salsa specifically?
Originally.
It's the playful attitude that they have. Like, Cubans have this attitude that they say that the man's job is to entertain the woman, and that the woman's job is basically to constantly, like, seduce him to try and confuse him.
To confuse him?
Yeah, because it's like when you're pushing the buttons, you know, when you're getting really sexy with somebody, like mm-hmm. they get confused sometimes, like they lose the thought.
Describe a little bit more about that confusion. I'm very curious.
Well, let's say that you got really uptight and close with somebody and they were really attracted to you. Mm-hmm. They might get confused, right? If you're pushing buttons in that sense and you're playing with somebody and they're playing with you, and I mean in a dance, just like with attitude and stuff, then, you know, you can throw them off whatever they had in their mind. And it's a little game, right? It's like, ooh, gotcha, ooh, gotcha. Fun, though.
It does. And I love the fact that it's like, how does this look? How can we work with this? And all the eye gazing as well, probably, and just the playfulness.
There's eye gazing, and then there's how do you use your body to basically, you know, to tease somebody, to push a button, you know, how do you move your shoulders in a little shoulder shake? They go like, ooh, that was sexy. You know, so, like, the way I see it is that the first thing is that you learn, you know, steps. Mm. Then you learn how to... So you're not constantly busy about thinking about it. Like, you don't count. You don't, you know, you start to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes the point where you want to get to self-expression. And self-expression comes when you can make that your own without losing the technique, but by feeling it, not thinking it.
That makes a lot of sense.
I know you've done it before.
I have done it before, and I have to say it's a heck of a lot of fun. So once you can get out of your own head and just let your body just own it, it's beautiful.
And that's what they say, right? Dance like no one's watching.
Yeah.
Because when you think that someone's watching, you're constantly thinking, you're conscious of yourself. Mm-hmm. This is why a lot of people, and I see that a lot in Vancouver, they say, oh, just give me some booze and I'll be fine. But what does the booze do? It allows you to basically stop thinking so you can feel and let go.
Mm-hmm.
I think, personally, the challenge is to get there without anything, just by having the courage to go there emotionally.
And courage can be a pretty wonderful natural high. It comes down to confidence and being able to walk and own it.
And that's exactly the point. That's what it gives you, right? If you can dance sexy, and not just given salsa, it can be reggaeton, it can be many different things, but if, or even other types of dance, but if you can dance and get to that place where it comes out of courage, that's exactly what it gives you, self-confidence.
And I think it's important for men as well to go there. So not just our ladies in this town, but also our men. Just the other day, I was actually speaking to a friend of mine who is a sex coach. And we were just chatting about it's really beautiful when a man is able to take control. And it can be really sexy, too.
And you know what is really interesting? Mm. When we're talking specifically about dance classes, is that I find that my job is really to get people to quote-unquote traditional relationships, because it used to be that a man, and I don't mean about it in the relationship, I mean in the dance, because it used to be that the man would lead in life and the woman would do whatever she needs to support the man. When you dance, it's like that. But what people don't get, it's not about feminism, and it's about the man taking charge so that the woman feels like, ooh, I like it. Like, he gives me confidence. He makes me feel safe, which women love. And then the woman can relax for 5 minutes and go like, I can be soft for a second. I don't have to drive my life all the time.
It's very true. Very true. I always think of it almost like the caveman, where I wish there was some more of that sometimes in culture. And I'm not saying this to any listeners who may be considering stalking someone or being abusive to women. That's not what I'm talking about. It comes down to basically being in agreement with your partner, finding a different way to communicate. But just sometimes, just almost basically, I've always loved that, where it's like, okay, you, woman, and just picking me up and actually dragging me over his shoulder somewhere back to the cave. I've always thought that was really cool. But again, it comes down to exactly what you were describing in regards to being able to take care, make her feel safe.
And it comes up in the dance. Like, for example, if you're dancing with a partner like you in salsa, and the guy feels a little wimpy because he's afraid to take charge because he doesn't want to offend a woman, the woman doesn't find that sexy, but it's like you basically teach the man how to man up. And suddenly it's like the woman goes like, ooh, that's interesting. And that's when she'll turn into the seduction back.
And I find that really interesting, because there's a lot of men, and that's one of the things I get from some of our listeners that are men, where they will make comments just about how they're really nice guys and women don't want to date them. So perhaps, are they able to take your class without having a partner?
Absolutely. Okay. Men and women alike. And we actually have a promotion till the end of the month.
Tell me about that.
Starting in 3 weeks, that if you register with somebody, it can be a friend, it doesn't need to be of the same sex, could be in different class as well. Each gets 10% off.
Nice. And let's just plug your website really quickly, because we haven't plugged it yet. So that's Latidos Productions, and please correct me if I'm saying that incorrectly.
Latidos? Latidos is like Latinos, like the Latin people, but with a D in the middle instead of the N, Latidos.
Ah, okay.
It means heartbeats in Spanish. Latidos Productions with an S, .com.
I love it. And it's just really, especially all about love, which I think dance is. Because if you go back in history, there's just so much dance in terms of celebration. And if you go to like something like capoeira, like in terms of just different types of history, where it's basically a martial art disguised as a dance,
absolutely.
There's just so much where people actually are able to show their individual and this stuff.
And you know what? It's interesting you brought back the fact that people used to dance, because I think one of the things is that people tend to not so much be, but more talk, right? And the beautiful thing about dancing is that you can be and do something together without having to think, and that puts you into a place of feeling an open heart. You know, one of the things that you notice right away when you dance, and I'm sure you've seen this yourself, is that if you dance and your heart is closed, you can't feel the beat, you lose it.
Yeah.
And you have to open up your heart to feel the beat. And if you're afraid that you lose the beat, you lose the beat because you can't feel it now, because those two emotions don't go together.
And I think that's one of the reasons I'm not trying to be light about this, but I think it's one of the reasons Dirty Dancing was such a popular movie. I don't know if you've seen it, but just that sad.
The original one, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Like where it was just that, where he puts her hand on his heart, and it's just like the thump, thump.
That's so cute.
Thump, thump. Thump, thump. And then from there, she finally starts to get it.
Yes. But it is. This is, you know, this is why I call the company Latidos Productions, because Latidos is heartbeats, and it symbolizes both the beat, the passion of something being raw,
mm-hmm.
and also the feeling of the drums.
Wow. And a drum really is like a heartbeat in so many ways.
So true. So true. And I think this is what I also love so much about Afro-Cuban stuff. Is that it's got that rhythm that's so ingrained in the drum. Everything comes from the core.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about some of the different classes that you teach.
Well, because of the book, which we'll talk about afterwards.
I'm excited about that. Yes, we will.
Yeah, because of the book, basically, I had to shut down all the classes for almost a year. So we're just slowly gearing back up. So last term we had 2 classes. This term we have 4 classes. We have one class which is reggaeton and Afro-Cuban movements. So this is a great class for people that want to basically work on their core ability with the body. And it's kind of like an hour and an hour, split it up, so that 1 hour you're working on those sexual movements and the abilities to move your body like that. And the other one has to do, each class is like from a different type of dance, but each one of them tackles your body from a different ability, so that by the end of it, you feel one, you've experienced so much of the different type of dances to know what you like.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also built some amazing core ability that you go like, wow, I can take it now to any of the classes and do really well, and I've learned how to move sexy, which I like, because it feels good, right?
So basically, they're getting a good workout, they're connecting with their partner, and I know if it's reggaeton, they're actually getting in their body.
Yeah, but this one is not with a partner. This is actually where you're doing movements and body movements, but you're not actually dancing with anybody.
So is this the Art of Seduction classes?
What's that?
Is this the Art of Seduction classes as well?
The Art of Seduction is in all of them. That's the thing.
Oh, I love it.
It's not like, this
just
is the
one
thing. You don't
thing.
Separate it from what you're doing. But if we're doing reggaeton, well, how can you do reggaeton without the Art of Seduction? How can you move sexy without understanding? And what we do, for example, is like we'll do a little choreography of what you do and how you apply this to somebody, right? So we start to play with it after a while. Cuban salsa, for example, we have a beginner for men and women, this is a place where you're learning the basics, really starting from first step, but as we start to move, as soon as we get to basic steps together and, you know, turning and stuff, that's when we throw in the Art of Seduction, and that's the best part, because it's like, I love seeing them at this point, and they were like working for a couple of lessons, you know, having to put that groundwork. And then suddenly they realize what they can do with it, and suddenly it's like you feel like in 1 second the whole class is like on. They're just on. And then they finish the class, go like, okay, so when's the next class? And we also have an intermediate class and an advanced class.
Mm.
Those are for women only.
Okay.
For people who have been in the school for a while, because we have such a strong following that we try to give them, you know, what they want to do. And we are doing kind of like a combination of intermediate reggaeton and body movement for salsa. Again, working more in the body and that art of seduction and stuff like that. So the intermediate works takes them to a whole new level. Well, how do I do body waves? How do I do, you know, to rotate my upper and lower body in a sexy way at the same time? And so on and so forth. The advanced class, we work on how to put those little tricks in. Well, what are those things? Because their ability with the body is a lot higher. So, well, how do we put those little things that sound like you dance with somebody and you push that little button with a little movement with the shoulders, with things, and it's a lot about layering movements. So you'll layer three different movements at the same time from different parts of the body, which is really hard to do. And then suddenly you get this movement and people go like, whoa, that looks good. What is that?
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of the layering. So it's bit by bit, and as they become more of their own and owning it, just how it just starts to just build. So it's the exact opposite of an onion.
Exactly. No, exactly.
Maybe an artichoke's sexier than an onion. I'm not quite sure.
Well, I think you'd have to go from there straight to Cuba and go to mango, because that's what they call you on the streets in Havana when they think you're sexy and juicy. Go like, I mango. And then one day I was walking in the street and I was holding a mango in my hand, and someone said to me, mango con mango. And I think that doesn't really require much translation, right? Then they have little variations to that they'll go like, manguita. So it goes on and on and on. But I guess mango is definitely one of those juicy ones, yes?
Mm-hmm. That's a really juicy, sexy word. I may need to adapt that.
I have a really funny story for you. I have a...
Please share.
Friend. Yeah, why not? We're on the radio. Just with you. Only with you.
And all our listeners.
I have a good friend who's a writer, and I saw him yesterday and I gave him a copy of the book because he wanted to do a review, and I was like, I was so happy about it. And he said to me, well, I'm going to read it and by Friday I want to do the review. I'm like, wow, even amazing. Like, couldn't be more amazing. Thank you, Michael. In any case, I'm sitting here today and I start to get about every 10 minutes a text message because he's reading my book and he's laughing about all these things. And he's sending me these things of like little words and little things. And I know exactly where he's in the book from what he's writing, right? Because I know the book inside out. But it's like little things, like he'll say to me, dame un beso, mami. Give me a kiss, mami, because it's in a story there that's just hilarious about seduction. So every 10, 15 minutes, I was getting something, and you could feel the energy, like he's in Cuba. It was a good day today.
That sounds like a really good day.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about your book. I should tell me a lot about your book.
Well, one of the things I wanted to do a book that would basically bring Cuba to people.
Hmm.
You know, and you know the story about Michael just now, I think kind of it really excites me because it's almost like, you know, you said to me before, you know, it's the passion we want to bring to Vancouver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because something is missing for us a lot of times here.
It is. It tends to be vanilla, which vanilla is great, but...
But sometimes you want strawberry.
Yeah, we want strawberry, we want chocolate, we want pistachio, we want bubblegum. We want all of it.
Right. So seeing the impact, for example, on Michael, and he's just one of many lately that are starting to get the book and see what it's about, it feels like... People are going to be living inside of that world here.
Hmm.
Like, you bring Cuba to them.
Yeah.
And that's what I was hoping to do, is I wanted... I mean, my experiences over the last 6 years, traveling to train with professional dancers, the best in the country, and pretty much living every summer there for the last 5 years. This is the first time I'm here in 6 years. And developing friendships that are just like family, they allowed me to see the culture through their eyes and understand it in a way that's really deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found in them something so beautiful in how they are as a community and how their solidarity and their passion for life and their whole attitude and looking always at the half that's full. that honestly, every time I come back from Cuba, I look around and I go like, wow, we take so much for granted, so much. And it makes me reevaluate my whole life again and put things in perspective every year. And that's a gift because we don't usually do that. And I just had to write a book that would bring that to people. And I think to do that, what I wanted to do is kind of like a new type of a book, a hybrid book. And it's kind of like Eat, Pray, Love meets Lonely Planet for Cuba.
Okay. I'm just trying to visualize that.
So think, for example, that you've got a travel guide that gives you, you know, where things are and what mm-hmm. to do and all that things. But at the same time, gives you personal stories from inside the culture that really makes you feel what it's like. Like, you won't be reading a travel guide usually. You will only open it for what you want, search for it.
Mm-hmm.
My Seductive Cuba, you'll definitely read from start to end.
How did writing the book on a personal level, how has it changed you?
Wow, in so many ways. I think that when I started with the book, I had a lot of insecurities about doing a book because I've never done it before. And I was questioning myself a lot. I was like, am I crazy? Like, I'm sitting here in a room for, you know, 14 hours writing, and it's like, is anybody going to like it? You know, you don't know. You don't. And I think that it made me a lot more confident in what I believe and what I want to do. Seeing the response, and the book isn't even fully out, like it's really being released, you know, next week on Tuesday. Today I had to speak to a buyer in one of the stores that we're going to be featuring the book at, the book warehouse. And, you know, after a short conversation where we discussed some of the things about the book, he said to me, you know, people like you make my life easy, my job easy. And I was like, wow, that's a big compliment, because he was like, he was so blown away by the production of the book. He was like, look, like, this book is amazing. It's high quality. It's beautiful. It's full of color and pictures. He's like, no book is done like that. It's like, you know, if this travel guide was next to another one for the same one, they would pick this one on the shelf.
Wow.
And that's a huge compliment,
that
you know.
Is.
So, I mean, I had to go through so many ups and downs this year, because like committing to something so big, you have to sacrifice so much. I have really great friends that can tell you about all the meltdowns mm-hmm. this year of going through the process of writing and editing and fighting to make this happen. But you know, it's like with anything, there's ups and downs, and that was just part of the process.
Wow. It just sounds so exciting. So if you looked at yourself just from where you were, say, because I know you started Latitos in 2005, I think, and then
that's right.
Because that was when you founded it, but you started it 2 years prior to that. I don't know if I got that right. But
yeah, it's true.
How have you changed from when you were doing animation and just fell in love with dance and decided to make a huge change?
Well, it's not like I fell in love with dance, because I started dancing when I was seven.
Yeah, and gymnastics as
right.
well.
Right, you did your research. You know it.
And I've chatted with you before.
I did. So I didn't just start dancing. I danced my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to dance 5 times a week when I worked in animation, because I just had to dance to be happy. But my life changed a lot since animation. I mean, animation was a huge passion for me, but I was kind of miserable living that life. Not because I didn't love animation. That was a magical world by itself. You're living in a kid's world, and you're playing all the time, and, you know, the sky's the limit, whatever your mind can imagine. But I was sitting in front of a computer. It wasn't a very social job and a very social person. And I felt like I lived in duality, where there was the person who's working and doing that, and then I had to leave work and be who I really am.
Wow.
And, you know, I met once a person when I was traveling. Him and his girlfriend were teaching yoga somewhere, and I met them, and he lived in unity, where everything was one.
Mm-hmm.
And that blew me away when I came to the presence of someone that did that. And I really aspire to get there and to turn my life into something that would make a difference, because I felt really empty in animation, because it was fun, but I didn't feel like it impacted the world. So I feel now like what I do during the day is who I am. It's the expression mm-hmm. of who I am. So So there isn't that duality anymore. I don't need to leave work to be me anymore. And I feel that I am making a difference for people. If I see people, you know, that are becoming, you know, they touch the book and that brings them passion. If I see them kind of, you know, wanting to go after their dreams, because like a lot of people are telling me lately, like, wow, it's amazing that you've gone through this and you made it happen, because it's like it inspires me to go after my dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I feel like I'm doing something meaningful.
Yeah. And I'm going to paraphrase this very badly, but it's almost like the Nelson Mandela speech that Marianne Williamson wrote, where it's, who are we to be gorgeous, talented, fabulous, and beautiful? I mean, who are we not to be? By letting our own light shine, we inspire others to do the same.
It's exactly the feeling.
So you're living that, which is beautiful.
Yeah, and I people asked me about this once. It's like, what inspired me to start Latidos Productions?
Mm-hmm.
And when I left animation, I really didn't know where I was going, where I was heading, what I was planning on doing. But I had a conversation with a friend of mine, Rob Stewart. He did Shark Water, if you saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the whole campaign to save sharks in the world. And I said to him, at the time I was living in Toronto, I said to him, one day, I can't find what I want to do. I'm searching and searching. It was a year I took to figure it out, and I couldn't find it. And he said to me, you know why you can't find it? I said, no. I said, because like most people, you don't believe that you can have it.
Ooh.
It hit you, right? And I didn't really get it in that moment, but I went home and I started going, like, contemplating what he said. I was like, what the hell does that mean? And I sat there and I thought about it, and there was a point where I started thinking of all these things that I thought I wanted to do. And every time something came up, I shot it down. Oh, I don't have this. Oh, I don't have the experience. I don't have the education. And then I realized that really the only thing that stops us from getting there is the decision that you're going to make it to what you want and believing that you can. It's about believing. This is what you see in shows like, you know, American Idol. They keep going like, just keep believing. Keep believing. Yeah, because these are people that, you know, Jennifer Lopez or whoever is sitting as a judge had to believe to get there, so they know the process. So a big chunk of getting to your dream is believing that you can have what you want.
So there's the believing and then putting the persistence in and actually doing the work.
Yes.
Because you work hard.
Yes, yes. You have to commit 100%. Like, when, you know, for me, I'm the kind of a person where I've decided a year ago that it was time to do the book. Now, from that point on, there was only one option, to finish it.
Hmm.
You know, and it doesn't matter how many ups and downs and what happened, there was just one goal, one end result of this. I didn't even know what it meant to write a book. I didn't even have structure or ability or what it means to publish or nothing. I just started walking forward, and I knew what the end result had to be.
What do you tell people when they tell you that they, when they read your book or they take your class and they're inspired by you? What do you say to them just to encourage them to move forward and just do it?
Well, here's the thing that I've learned over time, and I think this is the key, because a lot of people look at this and go like, well, how do you get there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It sounds to them really big, because they don't necessarily know how to hold that kind of a commitment towards something.
And they don't know how to take the first baby step.
Right, and here's the trick. I didn't get there in a day, and neither did anybody else. What someone very wise said to me years ago was that you earn courage by little deeds, and that you do it to build the muscle. So, you know, when I look at the process that I've gone through, I had to take smaller things first and win them. Right? So I didn't start by doing a book. I actually started, if people like saw like, something like 8 years ago, I was doing little events that were making, you know, tiny little bit of money on the side somewhere, and it's like, you know, and that's all I knew how to do, but I needed to gain that confidence. I needed to know to make mistakes. I needed to start somewhere. And at the time, some people were like, well, why are you wasting your time on this? But this was this was the beginning. I needed to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and eventually that turned into something bigger, and later on into, you know, an academy, and later on into tours to Cuba. But really, like, when we break it down to the feeling, which is what people can actually relate to, there was, for example, a point where I was teaching animation part-time, and I was teaching dance part-time. And because I was teaching dance part-time, I already knew how to do it. And I knew how to bring people to classes and how to run them and how to do promotions. But it was very small. It was like maybe two classes. right? But then suddenly I lost my part-time job in animation because someone got a full-time job that took over my part-time. So I had in that moment to make a decision and just jump in.
Mm-hmm.
But I already built some confidence through doing that before, so I knew, but there was still the fear because I haven't done it bigger. You know what I mean? So, but then doing it bigger, suddenly you go like, okay, I can do it. Because now it's bigger than what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and so on and so forth, you just keep expanding it. Now the book, you know, a year ago, a book seemed to me insane. Mm-hmm. Now I want to do two more books and a TV show.
Tell me about the, I don't know if you feel comfortable chatting about the two books and the TV show.
Well, I decided I'm going to talk only about one book because the other one has to remain still a little secret for the future, a little tease.
It's another reason why we're going to have you back eventually when you're ready to promote it.
So. I would love to. But I actually didn't think of doing the book about Cuba. I actually started with developing a TV show. And I realized through that process, it's a beautiful TV show, I realized that no one will touch it because I'm not famous enough. Because that was pretty much, you know, everybody looks at it and goes, like, great show, but we don't think anyone will pick it. You know, it's like I went from door to door. So I was like, okay, I got to create a bigger reputation for them to give me the ability to work on the kind of projects I want. So I was planning on, and the thing is that projects have a timing. They have a feeling when they click, when it's time for them to happen. And I started by wanting to do a book about my life story because it's a crazy telenovela life story. And I started showing this to publishers or agents, like wanting to basically move this forward. And no one wanted to touch this. So they were like, they pretty much said to me, look, like it's unless you're a celebrity, no one would publish this kind of a book. Because you got to have something that's either as a celebrity, so your name is big enough, or it's you know, something that was impossible for it to happen. So it just kind of happened that the book about Cuba, a friend kind of said something at the right time, and I came from Cuba, and I was writing in my blog for 3 years, and it just hit that place in the writing where people were like, wow, you should write a book, you should write a book, I'd buy a book. And I got so many of that, I was like, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, I was like, you know what? It's not about, all of these projects are amazing. It doesn't matter what order they come out. But here's my opportunity to do the first one that just suddenly clicked. So I basically worked on that one. And it was just like, then it just kind of fell into place, one after the other.
Wow.
So I still want to go back and do that book about my life story because I think that if people saw how much I had to overcome to get to where I am today, I think that will really inspire them.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's important because people need to be inspired. Sometimes I think we focus on a lot of the bad in the world, but there's so much goodness, and I think it just needs to be, just that light needs to be shone on it.
And it's you know, it's really about, you know, this is one of the things I said to you before that I love about Cuban people.
Mm.
It's how they focus on the half that's full, right? And Cubans have this, like, beautiful attitude, besides the fact that they're constantly busy in seduction, which is a lot better than dealing with problems, because it's so sweet. You know, you walk in the streets and people seduce you. You're just like, you're just busy constantly with seduction. Why deal with problems when you can constantly deal with seduction and it feels good? It's like, but they just really, they're like little kids playing all the time. It's just, it's fun. And it's not like their lives are easy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to Cuba financially, it's definitely not easy, but it's like, but wow, is there ever there something unique?
Yeah. And I love the fact that those who have read your book have just gotten inspired. I think that's really important, and I think it's something that sometimes in our Western culture, just, and this is just a general blanket statement, that sometimes we get sucked into the basic, like, just other stuff where when it comes right down to stuff, what do we really want? We want, you know, basically an relationship with our relationships, their friends, their families, and ourselves. That's what it comes right down to with everything.
Well, we want to, it's funny, isn't it? Because we're running and we're trying to achieve, and, you know, I'm as guilty as hell as everybody else, but maybe even more so than others, but bottom line, what are the things that really make us happy, right? Success makes us happy, but it's like, it's the human connections usually, right? It's family, it's friends, it's people that love you, it's partners, it's like, those are the things that really move your heart.
No, it's true. I was actually reading a book quite recently in regards to just when you're doing your plan for your life, really making sure, because most people, that's what it comes right down to, is they want to have more time for the people that they care about.
Yeah.
So why not make that your life now? So it's really cool that you've done that.
Thank you.
So I have a weird question for you. You're writing books and inspiring people, if you could flash forward, say, 20 years from now, and what would you like to be taught based on a lot of bringing that passion in our school system?
Are you talking about school systems in general, or specifically to Canada?
I was thinking, that's a good question back. I was specifically thinking Vancouver and Canada, but I'd like to actually get an answer for both, actually, because I think that's going to be different.
Well, because you see, the world is kind of different, because mm-hmm. when we talk about the world, because cultures are so different,
mm-hmm.
then it's kind of hard to say for everybody together, because I think in every country you have the good and the bad, right? What you have that works really well, and mm-hmm. what you have that is kind of missing in that culture. And one of the things that's missing here, like what you said, is passion shown outward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, I look at, for example, at my friends who have, like, young kids. And I think that we need a lot more openness here. Like, there's a certain way of being that you know, we're sometimes so much about the rules. And inside rules, it's good because everything is orderly, and we know that we can trust things to happen as we want them, and, you know, it's not messy, and it's secure, and we feel comfortable, and that's good. But sometimes people get caught up with rules too much, and you see that in the system for kids, too, where sometimes I think that we hold kids back a little bit too much, where we need to let go a little bit. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who was visiting town, and I was saying, you know, it's interesting because of the Olympics, because we had that experience, you can feel like the police have gone back a little bit, allowing people a little bit more, and everything's fine. And that's what I mean. It's like, do we really need to hold things so tight all the time? Whereas, you know, if I go to Cuba, it's kind of like the complete other extreme, where, you know, it's like people have sex on the streets because they're living with the whole family, and it's like they drive and they just don't use helmets because they don't feel like it, and the cars are really old anyway. It's just the complete opposite, right? We're completely raw, completely wild. And it's like, it's crazy sometimes when you go between those things. And when I go between cultures a lot, you know, I can be one day somewhere like in Israel, my country, and I'll be on the beach, and we sit with, you know, the bars are on the beach, and you sit there in front of the sunset, and you drink your beer outside, and that's allowed. And then you're in North America, and you're not allowed, you know? And those are rules that are different from country to country, right? And with that comes a certain openness or closeness, right? So I think that Vancouver is a great city, full of beautiful nature. There's something very calm, very soothing here. But we need to sometimes let a little bit more, let loose a little bit more. And it would be great if that was in the actual education system, because it starts with the kids.
It really does. I think it starts with the kids a lot. I think part of the lackadaisical attitudes are partly because of the fact after the baby boomers started having children, I actually had Dr. Allison Jones on the show. She's specializes with family and kids development, and she just mentioned that a lot of the parents tried to be more friends to their child because mm-hmm. they were brought up by what they call the silent generation, which was right after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very, very distinct roles in terms of parents. But sometimes because of that, there weren't the boundaries set up and the guidance in terms of as children. So because of that, I think it's gotten a little bit more casual in a lot of ways, because I think people, especially children, do need some boundaries to play within.
Well, I'm not saying that we should give up boundaries.
I
think that we need... What's that?
I was actually agreeing with you.
Okay.
Sorry. my apologies. But with that, I think it's and I'm going to quote Carrie from Sex and the City, basically having crayons to color in the lines, because it's kind of fun to color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that show.
Me too. So what's next for you? You've got two more books. You've got the launch of your book coming up next week. So that's going to be three, like if we're going forward 20 years from now, plus TV show.
Plus
classes.
Moving summer hot, because I got at one point get back to the beach and sea and sun the way I grew up. That has to happen at one point.
Mm.
So that's going to be in the plan. And obviously, having fun along the way and being with people that I love and, you know, everything that matters in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely.
What would you recommend for those who are really ambitious? Because at the end of the day, as we touched on earlier, we want to be connected to the people that we love in our lives and we care about. How to have that happy balance between actually pushing and persisting and believing that things are possible in regards to your dreams in terms of career and what you really want to do, but also not getting so focused on that that we forget about our family and friends?
I think it's a matter of just making it happen. I mean, I don't think that you can even truly be happy if you don't have a balance between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, your heart calls for it, right?
Like, yeah.
I talk to my family every week. You know, it's like my best friend. It's like I cannot not talk to them. It's like I get miserable if I don't. So, and the same if I, like, I think that this is what was so hard this year is you know, having to sit, you know, I wrote the whole book in 3 months.
Wow.
And I had to basically, it's because I took all my life savings and I said, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But because I took all my life savings and I stopped doing everything else, there was a certain amount of time that I knew I would have money and then I knew I would run out. So I had to make things happen within a time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant that I didn't have a year to sit there and slowly do things. It had to be boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
So you have to write a 328 pages in 3 months. Sorry. You really have to sacrifice certain things, and that was really hard.
Yeah.
Like being at home and not being able to go out and being, you know, this year I've been just so exhausted because I've been working so hard to make things happen, and it's like everything had to happen within a certain time frame for it to happen. And I'm actually self-publishing the book, so there's no publisher involved. I'm doing all the business. I build all the distribution for the book. I'm doing all the marketing. I find that is a great and fun challenge, but it's also been really difficult to do. It's not an easy task.
No, it's a lot of work, a lot of persistence. So where can people buy your book?
Well, the book is going to come out next week, on the 30th. That's our release date.
Are you doing anything special for it to celebrate? Can any of our listeners come by if there's any, like, is there a book signing or anything like that?
Well, there's going to be a couple of things. So,
okay.
First of all, we're going to launch on the 30th, and we're going to announce a special promotion through our database, so people can go into myseductivecubit.com and register into our mailing list, and they'll get, we're giving out tons of freebies for people who are buying the book.
Okay.
The book costs $26.95, and they'll be able to get lots of downloads and stuff. It's just amazing. So myseductivecubit.com is the way to join that. Now, I am going to be doing book signing at the Vancouver Latin American Film Festival, September 4th and 5th in the Cinematheque, 6 p.m., before the Cuban films. And we're also going to be having a little competition with some comp tickets for those films.
A competition, okay.
Yes, so we're going to have some free tickets to each one of these films, and we're going to put something that's going to go in Facebook and Twitter, so definitely people should join My Seductive Cuba both on Twitter and Facebook to see all of the fun stuff. And this is just the beginning. I mean, the thing is that, then I'll tell you about the other fun stuff that's coming out, but there's so much fun going on. But they can get the book at Amazon.ca on the 30th. They will also be able to get it in three different book warehouse stores, and they'll be able to get it at the Indigo chapters on Howe and Robson. And we'll have all that updated on our site before the 30th, so if people forget, they can go to My Seductive Cuba and they'll get it. It's not updated yet. We're just working on updating that right now.
Wow.
And what I was about to say is that we're building right now in the background this amazing website that's going to replace the teaser website. And it's going to be a beautiful portal with videos, and there's going to be contests on it. Like, we're talking to a big company, for example, to bring like a fun like contest into the website that would be, you know, a trip to Cuba that you could win. So we're planning on doing like really cool stuff on the website, the new website that we'll launch in about a month. So first, it's best to go and see what we're doing there and read some excerpts of the book on myseductivecuba.com. Then join us on Twitter and Facebook for all the fun stuff that we're doing already. And then later on, we'll have even more fun.
And I just love how you keep teasing all the listeners out there. So layer by layer by layer.
I guess the art of seduction is working.
It is. It really is. And let's just recap, because I know we talked about it at the beginning of the show. So we've got a lot going on. So we've got book release coming up, a lot of and book signing at the Film Fest coming up for September the 4th. And then as well as that, we've also got all your classes as well.
Mm-hmm. And if that's not enough, we're going to have special tours that are going to basically be launched in about a month. And they're going to be three times a year, and they're going to be tour where I'm taking the author of the book, taking people personally for a group no bigger than 10 people. For an amazing experience in Cuba to see a lot of what I'm talking about in the book and show them like things that they will never see on their own.
Wow.
Yeah, this year is going to be quite amazing. There's going to be some amazing things going on. Right now we're focusing on the classes and the release of the book next week and all the freebies and the book signings and stuff, but later on there'll be a lot of other stuff. So really the best way is to join the mailing list for myseductivecuba.com on the site, and we'll update everybody.
And I'm trying to type as fast as I can because I'm trying to stick it up on the Twitter feed.
Love it.
So, you'll have a lot of tweets where I've actually shared you with there.
Aww, so, love it.
So what, in regards to, if people want to book you, say for an inspirational talk or anything like that, can they reach you from the My Seductive Cuba?
That's the best way to
do it. Is that the best
right
now?
There's a contact form there.
Okay, because I know you have your personal website as well, and then the Tito's website too. So you've got
three. Yeah, what I'm doing is we're focusing right now on My Seductive Cuba, and the other ones are going to become secondary. So eventually we're going to redo the other two as well. But My Seductive Cuba is going to be the main one.
That's perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. It's like, I love being on your show.
Thank you. And it's very fun to catch up too. So it's half personal awesomeness. And also it's just really wonderful. And I'm really excited to hear all the wonderful things you've been doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations with all the success.
I look forward to seeing you soon. We got to get together.
I'm going to have to take your class at some point.
Perfect. We're starting from September 19th on. It's going to be fun. I would love to have you again. Love your energy.
Thank you. Well, that'd be awesome too. So
wonderful.
Yes. So I look forward to that. So everybody out there, I want you to sign up for My Seductive Twitter. Whoops. My Seductive Cuba. .com, both on Twitter, on Facebook, and of course on the mailing list, so you can find out more. And go and check out her book, because she's a pretty amazing lady. And I'm talking about you in third person.
I'm blushing again.
Well, thank you so much. And up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He will guide you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock next Wednesday, same time, same place. Tune it on or just check out our podcasts, which you can download at citr.ca. Happy, happy Wednesday. And think about all the different ways that in terms of the art of seduction, we've got a lot in this interview. And definitely check out, because I think you're going to have some fun and get some passion in your life and really think about what makes you feel good. And again, you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM, CITR. Good night, everyone.
minute.